Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
How's everybody doing today?
Oh man, what a week it's been for us. We finally have a home to stay in now. Yeah, I know you guys were, you know, just tossing up whether to attend because, you know, you were attending a church that had a homeless pastor, but he has a home now. I stay in UMG, Upper Mount Gravatt. Oh, UMG! Yeah. That's right, changes. That's right, pray for Tupac. yeah, so I'm going to call it UMG. I'm changing the culture. Garden City, baby. Westfield. Anyway, sorry, man. It's been one of those weeks. You know, how many of you hate moving, man? Like, who loves it? You, actually, Princess and Third have been really gracious in hosting my family for the last almost a month. And then I, you know, my wife and my kids came earlier than I did. And I arrived, man, I only arrived literally about just under 2 weeks ago because there was a Nigeria trip in between all of it. But they were so gracious to host us. And I'm just really thankful that this pastor had a place to stay over the last month. So thank you, Princess and Third. Can we give them a hand? But that's what it's going to take to see God's church advance is if we all play a part in what God is doing. It's never been, you know, here at EM Brisbane, it's never been about me or any certain personality. Actually, in every nation globally, it's always been about the whole of the body of Christ working and flowing in the lanes that God's called us to run in. And right now, as we're going through this series, I kind of gave an intro to it, but we're starting this new series called Centered. And I'm going to give you the title of my message today based on Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. That's where we'll be going today from Scripture. And the title of my message is named after a great Australian rock classic. Are you ready? The title of my message is The Power and the Passion. Anybody remember who sang that song? It's just Dave Koss, a Kiwi, a Maori. Come on, guys. Anyway, we need to reach more True Blue Ockers. But The Power and the Passion was a song in the 80s by a group called Midnight Oil. Anybody remember Midnight Oil? Yeah, yeah. And so there was an activist that led the way, led the group. His name was Peter Garrett. He actually became a politician later on. But he was a very passionate individual. And what we want to look at is the power and the passion. I'm actually going to start from the place of passion. But before I do, let's read Scripture. You can read it off the screen, or if you have your Bible, go with me to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 14 verses. Okay, if you're reading off the screen, just read with me. 1, 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world. It is bearing fruit and increasing as it is so since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Father, we thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. It lights up the way so we know how to walk. And I pray, Lord, for the illumination of your scripture by your Holy Spirit. I, your servant, move out of the way. Speak through me, God. I pray, Lord, that we'd hear directly from heaven and not just some big brown guy's opinion. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we're here talking about being centered and having our life centered on Christ. And so the question immediately posed is, what do you have your life centered on? And this is going to be the question that kind of matriculates all the way through the series over the next 8 weeks as we go through the whole book of Colossians. I would highly recommend all of you taking time, not just to read Colossians, but to chew on it. In Psalm 1, we read about the man whose way is prosperous is a man who meditates on the word day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams or rivers of living water. To meditate, that word in the Hebrew is like a cow chewing on cud, which is the grass that it chews on. And as it chews on it for hours, sometimes even the whole day, to get the maximum flavor out of it. I mean, you can't even do that with extra chewing gum, let alone five gum. So, you know, they say they're long lasting, but I'm here to tell you that scripture is a lot longer lasting as you chew on it and chew on it. So I'm here to tell you, and I challenge you as we go through this series, to take the book of Colossians, which is primarily about centering your life on Christ. The first two chapters are the message of the gospel, the price that God has paid in sending his son, Jesus Christ, to allow us to live a life centered and empowered through the centering on Jesus Christ. And then the second half of the book is about what happens in a Christ-centered life, what it empowers you to do, what it empowers you to overcome. So that's what we're going to be doing over the next 8 weeks. And so we're here looking at the first 14 verses, which is probably around the first half of the first chapter. And so as we're chewing on this, I wanted to pose that question. What does it mean to have your life centered on Christ? And what is it you have your life centered on? Well, you can tell what a person centers their life on by what they're passionate about, which is why I wanted to call this the power and the passion. I'm starting with passion. You can tell what a person's life is centered on by what they're passionate about. They show up early. They scream loud. They wear certain clothes or lack thereof in order to stand out. Let's just say, for instance, and I didn't have a television last night, and I thank all of those who helped me move into my new place. I did buy a TV today. The world is back in order. But last night, I obviously missed the test, the rugby test, where the Wallabies played the All Blacks. Actually, the All Blacks played the Wallabies. Oh, I'm proud. Don't worry. I may be in Australia, but I'm a missionary to you people. I will always be an All Black supporter. And, you know, don't worry. The comfort of the Lord is in this place. And he's here to comfort those of you who may be mourning, as I was with State of Origin. Anyway, so, you know, just to remind you, we go down to Eden Park, which is our famed rugby ground in Auckland, and you see these guys. Again, like these guys who are executives in their companies going down to the park, and they'll grab, you know, like nine of them and stand together and cover themselves in black and paint like silver ferns or spell All Blacks, like I'll be A, and on their beer bellies, and go out there and scream loud like little girls at a Justin Bieber concert, you know, just for these guys who are playing this game. Now, there's nothing wrong with the game, but that just shows what they're passionate about. Because if they did that at the office, there would be boxes filled and people walking out in taxi because I got fired. Because you don't do that at work, but you're passionate about the game. You show up early because you want to get you know, you want to get to your seat in time and all of that. And so we say, you know, as followers of Christ, that we're passionate about Christ, you know, but does it really reflect, not necessarily in our worship, or even in our giving, or you know, all of that, but does it reflect? Because, you know, there's some people that just say, well, you know, Pastor Nelly, I worship God with silent worship. I worship him with my heart. And, you know, Helen will be there. Come on, let's lift our hands to the Lord. It's just like you're holding a TV. Yeah. And yet at the game, it's like, you know, hands up. No one has to tell you to scream. No one has to tell you to shout. You know the moments when to shout. And you know the moments when to blame the ref. And when to scream at, you know, oh, come on, it was a forward pass. You know, the passion determines the response that comes out of your mouth. And you're willing to pay all sorts of exorbitant amounts of money for a ticket to go. You know, unless you have the hookup, you know, like, oh, that's my cousin who's wearing number 8, you know. Gave me a free ticket. Yeah, right. It's a traffic ticket. You know, so like, so if you're really passionate, you'll pay all sorts of amounts of money and spend all sorts of time. All your conversations are about that. You're passionate about it. You can tell what a person's life is centered on. And again, I don't want to lambast anybody here who's into sports. I love sports. I love sports. I've missed rugby and rugby league. So, you know, you can tell what a person's passionate about by their responses, by their, you know, the way that their finances are issued, the way that they respond vocally around those sort. You know, so that's the first P is passion. The second one is priority. Like, what takes priority in your life? The actual writer of that song that we sang, Jesus at the Center, is a worship songwriter by the name of Israel Houghton. And him and his two songwriters from a church in Atlanta wrote that song. And their heart was, and behind writing that song, was not only that, is he the priority? Because the tendency is to think, and you hear this all the time, like, Jesus is number one, then my wife is number two, then my family's number three. And, you know, how many of you know Jesus doesn't even need to be on the same chart? He's not number one. He's all there is. He's all there is. And the way I see my wife, Tina, Jesus is the king of that relationship, that my marriage to her. There are times when it's easy to love one another, and there are times when we cry out to Jesus to love one another. I'm just saying, single people, you're going to need the grace. And it's the same with kids, you know. You have your children. They're your priority. There's times when it's easy to parent them, and then there's times when you're like, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not only that he's a priority, but he's actually the center of everything. He's the center of your career. He's the center of your studies. He's the center of your family. The way that you relate to other people, the way that you work in your career, the way that you study, should all be centered around Christ. It's not just the 15 minutes in the morning, that's God time, and then the other 16 hours that you're awake, that's kind of like time for everything else. No, Jesus in the center of it all. Jesus at the center of your first class, your second class, your lunch period. Jesus at the center of, you know, the way that you work at your office with integrity, showing up early and doing everything that you need to do. Jesus is at the center of everything. And so that's number two, is the priorities. And then the third thing is the people that you end up surrounding yourself with. Because you'll naturally gravitate towards people who have a similar experience or similar passion and similar priorities to you. State of Origin fans, Queenslanders hanging out with Queenslanders, or, you know, people that shop at a certain place hang out, oh my gosh, did you see the special at this place? And gravitate, you know. That's the way it happens. It's like the people you surround yourself with inevitably become, you know, that way because you're passionate about the same things. So that's how you, those are the three P's in terms of how you can determine what somebody's life is centered on. So what's your life centered on? When Jesus, in this book of Colossians, and the whole theme of this book of Colossians is really what it's going to take to center our lives on God. We have one job. Everybody say this. You have one job. Turn to your neighbor and tell them loud and declare it over their lives. You have one job. Don't get it wrong.
You have one job. Don't get it wrong. And that job is to center your life on Christ. Don't get it wrong like these people. If you can show the next slide, please. Don't get it wrong like this guy doing the billboard. You have one job. Don't get it wrong. Next one. All right. This one at IKEA. You have one job. Don't get it wrong. Next one. This one. You have one job. Don't get it wrong. Next one. Arnott's Biscuits. He was fired the next day and he went to the next job. Headless children. Next job. Last one. No, this is the same guy. Turn to your neighbor again. Tell him you have one job. Don't get it wrong. Center your life on Jesus. Now, back in the spirit. Come back to Jesus. All right. Now, as we look at scripture again, we're going to look at this passage here. We're going to jump to the next. You can jump to the next slide. It says here in verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith. Everybody say faith. In Christ Jesus and of the love. Everybody say love. That you have for all the saints. Because of the hope. Everybody say hope. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel. Now, the reason why I've highlighted these three words is they play an important part in centering your life on Christ. Now, if you're here and you answer the first question honestly and you say, you know what, Pastor Nelly, my life is not centered on Christ. I'm here to tell you that the primary reason for your existence is a relationship with Christ. And it's only by his grace that we can allow ourselves to become centered. But some of us in this world, you know, every single person on this planet is a worshiper, centers their life on something. It's just a matter of what that thing is. And you've heard me say it before, like you can tell what a person truly worships by what they're passionate about, and like they treat this moment that we have here every Sunday as a get to, not a got to. You know the difference? Like, I get to come and worship God. I get to bring my offering before the Lord. I get to hear the word of God that will empower me to overcome situations in my life. It's not, oh, I got to be there. Kind of like Michael Jackson used to sing, got to be there in the morning. Gotta be there. Like, I grew up being a got to sort of guy. Coming into church because my parents dragged me because my dad was kind of like the pastor. And so he had to look a certain way. We wore the white suits. I mean, Pippin knows this. We grew up in the same church. You know, I had to go. I don't want to get you to put your hands up and say, how many of you had to go? But I know there's some hands that will be going up because that doesn't change an individual. I'm thankful for the deposit of the word of God in my life and all that I learned in Sunday school, but it was a lot of head knowledge. And I'm thankful that I had a real encounter, actually through my parents, with Jesus Christ and made the decision myself to center my life on him. But ever since that day of allowing God or actually realizing that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, it's always been a struggle. Like there's always been things to take my attention and my focus away from centering my life on Christ. And that's why you're going to need these three things. Faith. Everybody say faith. Hope. Everybody say hope. Love. Everybody say love. Now, if we were to, let me just draw this up in a diagram for you, just to allow you to understand this. I know that people respond and remember things more with imagery. Faith is the airplane, okay, to elevate you towards your destiny. But an airplane is pointless without an engine. The engine of the airplane is love. Okay, if you want to go anywhere, you can have all the faith you want, but you ain't going nowhere without no love. Okay? You have to have love. That's right. The love boat got it right. You have to have love in order to go where God has called you to go. And hope is the direction, because hope is always future tense. I can't be married and hope for a wife. I have one, and I'm very happy. because she is my hope now, because she's been the fulfillment of that hope. I wish she was here to hear that. She will listen to the podcast, and I will get another birthday present. Thank you, Jesus. You know, but like I'm just saying, you know, like for all of us, we have a hope, like in Christ. Of course, we have the hope of eternal life in Him, of heaven. But there's a lot more that God wants you to see, even on this in this life. Eternal life actually starts now. And so having a vision or having a hope in front of you, like my hope being here in Brisbane is to see this city won for God and to see this city discipled. Like not just Christians that just sit in a meeting and never have interaction with other Christians and never have the opportunity to grow in their faith, just becoming pew sitters or an audience in a production rather than the church that is alive. That's my hope. That's the hope I have. Every time I drive, even just driving here, Dave, I was really blessed just driving up towards Kangaroo Point and just looking over the Brisbane River and seeing the beautiful CBD. Like my hope, like something in me arises, wanting to see the city won for God. Like if you have no hope, you just go to work just to go to work. If you have no hope, you just go to school just to go to school. Like there's nothing in front of you driving you in the direction that God wants you to go. But having the hope, and notice this, okay? The way that you can tell it's Christ's hope as opposed to your hope is, number one, it will always point towards God being glorified. And then number two, it will always help other people to know God. If it's, oh, you know what? I think it's God, but you know when Bruno Mars said, I want to be a millionaire. I want that, Lord. That's my hope. No, that's selfish. That's you wanting to, you know, be the embodiment of a Diddy video. That's what that is. That's not Christ-centered. That's you-centered. And Christ acting like Santa Claus or a genie. Maybe if I pray 3 times a day, maybe he'll bring me this big contract or, you know, like bring me the wife that I wanted or bring me the $1 million that I wanted or an advancement. Lord, do it for me. Do it for me. Who's Lord? He's Lord, not Jeffrey from Fresh Prince going out to, you know, be your, can I help you? He's the King of Kings. He's the creator of the universe. So you exist for him, not him existing for you. In fact, he was under no obligation to introduce himself to you as the creator of the universe. So in him we have faith. And then understanding, God, help me to see beyond even the temptation of just what I, you know, my family and that's it. So you would sit in a gathering like this and just think, okay, I'm just going to get my word for me and my family, and then beyond that, up to them. But you know, God wants you to understand that He's given you life for a kingdom purpose, that there is a nation to be reached. There's a sphere of influence that God's put you in. You are in that job because He wanted you there. You are at UQ or QUT because He wanted you there. You may have thought, well, this is going to be my way to get to where I need to be. Actually, make the most of now, because where He has you now is grounds for faithfulness, to breed that faithfulness, that as you are faithful with little, you will be entrusted with much. So faith is the substance. According to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Again, future tense. The evidence of things not yet seen. So I have hope that this city will be discipled. So as I'm driving through different suburbs, as I'm driving in the north or I'm driving down in Logan or wherever I may be, I'm seeing and I'm praying, God, show me through your eyes what it would look like to have the hope of Christ for this city. I encourage you to do that at work. You know, not just understanding that you have a job just to get your paycheck and then just live from paycheck to paycheck to paycheck or whatever it is and have this existence till you're retired, 60 or 65, get a gold watch, retire and die. What sort of sick, morbid existence would that be? How many of you know Christ laid his life down for a lot more than that? Some of you, and I know that we've got a lot of students here that are not from Brisbane. And you may think, oh, I'm just going to clock my time in here, get that piece of paper, and then bounce back to my country or whatever it may be. I'm here to tell you, this is opportunity. Turn this into a mission ground. You are here not just for you. You are here to take and seize this opportunity. That's why I'm blessed by a lot of these students that are here. You know, I could go down the line, Helios and Riz, you know, just the student leaders who just give of their time, Christine, just give of their time to see students one. I mean, they don't have to. They don't have to volunteer. Leica doesn't have to volunteer and give of her time to sit at a booth and introduce people to Club Real or whatever it may be, because she could be out there studying, because if it's all about me, then why not? But she has a hope for this campus. She's not under any obligation to do it, but neither was Jesus under any obligation to die for us. So whatever sphere of influence you're in, I'm here to introduce you to the true notion of Christianity. It's not about you. It's never been about you. Everything has been about Jesus. The reason he saved you was because of him. To adore him. And that may sound morbid, but like there's a lot of life in reflecting in his glory. There's a lot of fun and enjoyment, and there's a real life. You understand the whole purpose of life when you begin to understand that this is what it was all about. Faith is also a gift from God. You can't muster up your own faith. Faith, biblical faith, comes from God. It's funny, like he gives us the gift of grace and then he gives us faith to receive the gift of grace. So faith is also a gift from God. Ask God, and we're going to do this at the end of this message. Ask God, what is it you want me to have faith for? Yes, God, I have faith that I am saved, that you've saved me through the work of the cross by sending your son, Jesus Christ, to shed his blood on Calvary that I may be cleansed and washed. I am no longer bound in sin. I am free. But this freedom is for something. It's not just for me to dance around and say I'm free. It's for me to set others free. And that's the hope we have for. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance meaning that you can touch it. It's manifest. I don't hope for a microphone. It's here in my hand. But it's the substance. Like, I don't have it in the physical, but I have it by faith in substance. By faith, we will see this city discipled. There's only about 2.5 people excited about that. By faith, we will see the city discipled. You know, for the most part, and as I look across this crowd, I know that most of us, I'd say 90% of us, aren't from Brisbane. We weren't born and raised in Brisbane. That's going to change. That's going to change because we are going to look with kingdom eyes and have faith for other people to see who Christ is in our lives. Any platform that God gives you, any platform, whatever the platform may be. You know, I know we've got people here who play sport. It's never been about the sport. The sport is the tool. Christ is the objective. For myself as a musician, and a lot of times, you know, and you may have different convictions in different areas, but I believe that God's given me music not just to lead people in worship in a Christian setting, but also as a tool to help people to come to know Christ. It's never been about the music. I'm not one of those guys that play and then just say, oh, praise the Lord, and then go at the back and get drunk and get wasted and all of that. And, you know, just try and tag Jesus as long, you know, try to get my get out of hell free ticket. It's never been about that. It's been about living this life in the fullness of what he has for me. This is the only way that there is to live. Like I said last week, there is no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. It's impossible to be a lukewarm Christian. Look up at me, everybody. You cannot be a lukewarm Christian. It's an oxymoron. You're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. You either follow Christ or you're not. You can't just do, you know, half and half. There's no afakasi Christianity for the Psalm ones in here. You can't like hop into Jesus stuff and then hop out when there's no Jesus people around. And so your whole Christianity is like that old school Bobby Brown move from Every Little Step. It's like, that's your whole Christianity right there. Just hop back. Oh, there's Jesus people around. I'm at the Connect group. Oh, yeah, yeah. Hi, hi. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sha-da-da-da. Buy me a Honda. Buy me a Honda. And then you go back out, you know. go back out and think you can fool everybody. It's not about us. You can. I don't care. You can fool me. I don't mind. I'm pretty naive anyway. But it's always been about, is your life really centered on God? Is it really centered? Because if it's centered on God, faith changes. You don't have faith just for yourself and your stuff. You begin to have faith for everybody you come into interaction with. Everybody you meet. You look at your schedule. And if you have a, you know, like how we like to catch up with people. Oh, yeah. Like they may message you on Facebook. Oh, I haven't seen you for years. Let's catch up. They may have in mind that we're going to go and talk and gossip and talk about things that may have happened. I have in mind now, as somebody who has their life centered on the gospel, Holy Spirit, use this as an opportunity to introduce them to the love and the hope that I have. I have faith that they will come to know you. And if they already know you, then we will rejoice together. That time at Starbucks is going to be the most awesome time of that day, because this catch-up is not just going to be a catch-up. This is going to be an opportunity that I have to engage with them, with your presence with me. Aware of His Holy Spirit, prophetically aware even. Like as they're talking to me, I'm listening to them, but also listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, how would you have me participate in this conversation? Most of the time He says, you know, you just shut up and listen. That's what He says to me. Shh. Just be quiet and then buy them, pay for them, you know, buy their coffee. Oh, okay. You know. But Lord, He had two pastries. I gave my son. Oh yeah, that's right. Yes, Lord. Faith. That's the sort of faith that Christ wants us to have. That's the sort of hope that we see in front of us. And that's the, you know, hope comes in the direction that God wants us to be taken in. And some of you may have had dreams. I'm here to ignite that again. Some of you, I believe in this room, have had God-given dreams. And God's given you a God-shaped heart for that God-given dream. Let me tell you, if that dream scares the heck out of you, because it's going to involve finances, it's going to involve meeting people that you don't normally meet, and if it's going to involve time and effort and all that, and it's going to involve a whole lot of people coming around you and helping you to achieve that dream so that you can reach more people and impact more lives and get in the lives of more people, it's usually God, because God's dreams are always corporate. It's never just a one-man show. It's never, you know, I'm tired of these R&B artists coming up at the Grammys wearing bikinis saying, "Thank you, Jesus." Thank you, Jesus, for the shoestrings that I have as clothes. You know, I'm like, goodness me, come on. We got to represent well. And no more excuses. Like, have our lives centered on God. Have our lives centered on God and be the hope that other people will see. This is what Brisbane is, you know, they're waiting for. They're waiting for a church that is like this church. You know, the church at Colossae, they had actually never met Paul. Paul never went to Colossae. He never had an opportunity to. He actually wrote this from prison. Never got a chance to go to Colossae himself. But their faith was so strong that he just felt compelled in prison to write to other people. Now, that says a lot about Paul, firstly. I don't know about you, but if I ever went to prison, the last thing I would be thinking about is writing letters to a church, let alone a church I never met before. But their faith had ignited in him a passion to want to encourage them. And so that's why he wrote to the church at Colossae. Faith that ignites purpose. Hope that is reflective, and that so that when you see those things ahead, those dreams, those God-shaped dreams that God puts in your heart, and you get in a discipleship relationship and you're asking, come on, I need you to pray through this with me so that we can see this ignited and see the kingdom, you know, impacted, make an impact in that area. The enemy, sure, he gets mad at you when he gets mad when you get saved, but he gets even more mad when you start messing with other people's lives and you start thinking, man, you know what, it's never been about me. I'm going to go lay hands on the sick, see them healed. I'm going to go and disciple the unlovable. When you start saying that, that's when the devil gets really mad. Actually, he's not too concerned if you get saved and you become a Christian and then you just stay in your little corner with your little Christianity that nobody knows about because it's so personal, even you don't know him. And you just stay in your little corner and just, you know, it's just me and Jesus. I'm going to start jam ministries. Jesus and me ministries. Your toe jam ministries. You're not gonna see anything come of that. And that's exactly what the enemy would have you do. Think about, make you think that, man, my Christianity is just going to be off to the corner somewhere where it doesn't matter, it doesn't count. Let me just encourage you too. We are a part of a family of churches, over 600 churches across the planet in 52 nations right now. Every nation ministries. You're a part of a movement. If you're a part of this church, you're a part of a movement that is so set after planting churches, so set on planting campus ministries all across the globe. We are not settling to be the sort of church that would just have people sit in some corner somewhere and not have their lives count for something greater than themselves, namely the kingdom of God. You're a part of that movement if you're here. And this is the awesome thing about God is he places before us this choice, whether we want to participate in it or we just want to, you know, be passive about it. But if you're passive in here, you're not going to like this church very much. You really aren't. I'm secure enough. I know our church is growing. It's burgeoning. But I'm secure enough to know that this is Christ's church. And it's going to be an exciting ride. It's going to be an exciting ride being a part of Ian Brisbane. And we are going to, not just our church, but as this week, pray for me and the pastors in the region. We're going to be meeting in Christchurch this week and just meeting with Pastor June Escusar and Pastor Michael Paderas from the Philippines, who will be meeting us in Christchurch. And we're going to strategize and be praying throughout the week on how we can see God impact this area of Australia and New Zealand, and even as we plant a new church in Fiji towards the end of next year. We're really excited about seeing God's impact in this region. And let me tell you, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. We're just getting started. But that's the hope we have. And I'm here to tell you, you know, some of us have been around people who have talked the talk. But we're kind of, you know, like, that spirit of, yeah, right, comes in the back of your head. How many of you know that spirit? Like you hear a pastor, oh, okay, here we go. Another pastor going, yeah, talking about big dreams, visions, this and that. I'm here to tell you, the vision's not on me, it's on God. It's never been about me, because this church is centered on Jesus. It's centered on him. So that's faith, that's hope, and then we're here to talk about love. See, because at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, it says these three will remain, faith, hope, and love. And of the greatest, love. Love is the greatest. He starts that chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13. Again, the same author, Paul, he starts that chapter by talking about, if you speak in the tongues of all men, but you have not love, you have nothing. You sound like a clanging cymbal. I used to be a clanging cymbal. Like, was able to preach, able to lead worship, able to do all the churchianity stuff. How many of you know the difference between churchianity and Christianity, right? I know the culture of church. I know how to say the right words, but I had no love. And every time I opened my mouth, it was like, dang, dang, dang. Dang. That's the way I rolled. But it wasn't until I came to the realization that, you know what? I'm actually really hopeless without the love of God. And I only have the ability to love because he first loved me, sent his son for me. So you call it that? Faith, hope, and love. In order to have a life that goes somewhere and is centered and remains centered, you need to pray for faith. Pray that God will give you faith. Again, all three of these come from God. Pray that he'll give you his hope, not your own hope, because that'll only last a short time, but you want to have his hope in front of you. It's interesting, you know, the Bible would say in Psalms that he is the lifter of our heads. Because the tendency is for us to lower our heads and think about ourselves, our circumstances, what is immediately in front of us. But as we lift our heads, how many of you know we begin to see other people? We begin to see how great our God is as well. So that's hope. And then love. Ask for his love for one another. It's easy to love God. Sometimes it's hard to love people, especially Christians, man. Why do I have to love that guy? Okay, Lord, I love him, but I don't like him. Okay, I'm just going to give you five byproducts really quickly of a life centered on Jesus, and then we'll shut this down. Let's go. Next one. Which has come to you as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Go ahead. Okay, just watch this. One of the byproducts, firstly, of having a life centered on Christ is that you bear fruit. And you bear fruit in increasing measure. How many of you have been around a Christian, and as you're around them, you're just like, man, this person's so full of joy all the time. It's just always smiling, so radiant. Is that a moisturizer, or, you know, what's going on? And that's the fruit of joy in their life. Or some people are just so patient. You get around certain people, and they're just willing. Yeah, no, that's fine. You can pay me back next year. They're just so patient. They just, you know, and they don't mean it. They're not nice to your face and then pulling out daggers behind your back. They're actually really nice. They're really patient, or they have so much peace on them. How many of you have been around certain people and they just have such a countenance of peace around them? You know, when you're around them, you just feel like you can just relax, like God's got it, right? That's the fruit of the Spirit. You never seen a tree straining, right? You never go down to an orchard and see an orange tree going, oranges! Like I got orange constipation or something. I want oranges! But sometimes us as Christians, we're like dying to see the fruit straight away. But having a life centered on Christ enables us to bear fruit in increasing measure. See, you'll remember that. I did that on purpose, so you'll remember it. Okay, secondly, is that you will learn from faithful servants. We are a church that values discipleship. Okay, our movement across the world, every nation, one of our values is discipleship. Discipleship is simply, to be a disciple means simply to follow the teachings of Christ, to follow after Christ, to be obedient to him. Matthew 28, the closing section of this. I'm just throwing these scriptures out. I'm trusting that you're writing them down. This shouldn't be the only time you read the Bible during the week, by the way. I'm putting these scriptures out so that you can write them down and read them later in the week. So Matthew 20, verses 19 to 20 is what is known as the Great Commission. And Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, not just your nation. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. My favorite part is always the end. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. That's the best part of it, is that Jesus helps us make disciples. We bear fruit because we abide in the vine. We bear fruit. John 15 is another good one. He is the vine and we are the branches. So it's in him. As we abide in him, we bear fruit. As we stick to him, as we center our lives on him, we naturally bear love, joy, peace, patience. You don't have to strain or strive to see those things active in your life. They just come naturally out of your life. Let's go to the next one. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. How many of you want some of that? So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit. There we go again. In every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, may you be strengthened with all power. Everybody say power. I told you we began with passion. We're going to end with power. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Not your glorious muscles, his glorious might. For all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Last three evidences of someone who has their life centered on Christ. Go ahead. First one is that you get to know God's will. One of the questions that I get asked the most as a pastor is, I don't know what God's will is for me. Pastor Nelly, what is God's will for me? And it usually is something like, well, he isn't. You know, it's just some, I'm just kidding. Anyway, but if you want to know God's will, center your life on him. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be transformed, and then you will be able to test and approve what his will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You want to know his will, allow God to renew your mind to his word. So, for instance, I have a decision that I need to make. The world says I should respond this way. The Bible says, or the Holy Spirit says to me, I should respond this way. I'll give you an example. As a single guy, let's just pretend I'm single and there's somebody in my life that I'm attracted to, but they don't value Christ. They don't have the same direction as me and the same passion for Jesus, but they got beautiful eyes, right? The Bible says you should not be yoked with unbelievers. You know, there's a difference between just being a friend with somebody and being yoked. If you're in a yoke relationship, that means that you're yoked like oxen together and you have to go in the same direction. You never see oxen who are yoked. I think in the Philippines, we call it karubao, right? Like you can't go in different directions. You have to go in the same direction because there's a yoke that yokes them around the neck. And so if one goes in this direction, you don't want to go, but you just have to go. And sometimes relationships are that way, you know, like it's like, wow, I know that Jesus wants me to do this, but man, she's fine. You know, that a renewing of the mind allows the Holy Spirit to break that yoke. The anointing of the power of the blood of Jesus breaks every yoke. You are no longer yoked to the things of this world. And so any decision that you have to make, you have to run it through that grid. And as you renew your mind to living the way he wants you to live, it's amazing how easy it is to know what his will is. Like, oh, now I know what he wants me to do. He wants me to go sell everything I have and go to the mission field somewhere or whatever it might be. Or maybe start a business that will help people who are starting businesses in third world countries and help to microfinance them or whatever it may be. Like, those are the sort of things that God begins to entrust to you because you've proven yourself faithful in small things. That's the way he rolls. So that's the first one, knowing God's will. You are able to know God's will if your life is centered on him. Fourthly, you're able to, they're all up there. Sorry, man. It looked much better on my Mac. Fourthly, you walk worthy and you walk pleasing to God. So that's what it says there. A lot of us feel condemned when we don't please God. And again, it shouldn't be something that we strain or strive for. It's the grace of God that empowers us to overcome sin and the grave and whatever leads us habitually. I'm here to tell you, if you have things that you've been battling, repeated sin, the anointing of Jesus Christ can break every yoke. Every yoke. And so it's just a matter of submitting your will. For some of us, it'll be instant. And I'm believing most of the time, if not all the time, it'll be instant. For some of us, it's still a struggle. And there should never be a condemnation as long as we're submitting. God, I don't want to be a victim of this any longer. God, I'm submitting. Though the righteous falls 7 times, he gets back up. And it's just a matter of saying, God, I want your will in my life. So that's the fourth thing. And then the last thing is that you're strengthened with all power. All power, not just your power. I don't know about you, but we have a tendency in this day and age of the Avengers to think that that's all the power that there is, you know, like cartoonish power, and we deem power to be fictional. Let me encourage you, there are miracles, signs, and wonders happening all over the world by the power of God. It just takes a people who are willing to say, you know what, I'm that's my God. He can raise people from the dead. You know, my excitement arises when I see youth groups go down to hospitals and have the faith to empty it out. Just go down there and just, Lord, we just submit ourselves to your will. We're just going to go lay hands on the sick and you heal them. If you don't, that's on you. But we're here faithful, obedient, and we're going to lay hands on the sick and see him healed. And I'm here to tell you today, that's what it means to live an extraordinary life that is centered on Christ. I know that was a lot to take in, but I wanted to give you a lot to munch on this week because you're going to need it throughout this week. There's all sorts of things that will vie for your attention, try to grab you and try to distract you from walking in his will. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to pray, and we're going to pray for one another, because everybody in here who's a follower of Christ is actually a minister of reconciliation. You can pray for one another. If we could stand to our feet at this time. I want to pray in those three areas with regards to faith, hope, and love. I just feel led of the Lord just to focus in on hope today. I feel like there's people in here that have, that there's been an attack of the enemy to try and steal people's hope that they have in God. Like even right now, there's just almost like a spiritual depression that's tried to come on you. And I just believe that God wants to lift that from you. You don't need to battle it any longer. He is your hope. He is the lifter of your head. You are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. You're an overcomer. And so if that's you today and you've been battling that, just if we could all bow our heads and close our eyes, if that's you and you've been battling that and you're like, you know what, Nelly, I really need prayer. I don't want to battle with this any longer. I need to be set free from this. I need my hope restored. If that's you today, can you just lift your hands and just say, Pastor Nelly, that's me. Awesome. Just keep them up. I really believe that the Holy Spirit is here today to restore your hope. Let's just come around these people right now as a spiritual family and let's just pray for them. Father, if you're away from them or not too in close proximity, just if we could just come in agreement and just pray for these people. Lord, we thank you so much, Holy Spirit, that we have this opportunity to stand as a spiritual family, knowing that you are our hope. That you even remind us that Christ in us is the hope of glory. And we thank you that we have all hope, all the hope that we need in you. We thank you that your love fuels us. Your love is the engine that will drive us, God, drive us forward. Right now, we thank you that by your blood, depression, the spirit of oppression has no authority any longer. We break the spirit of oppression right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you are restoring joy. You are restoring passion. You're restoring a smile. You're reminding us of just how much you love us, God. I pray, Lord, for a fresh infusing with your love today. Lord, just lift your hands and just receive his love again. Father, fill us with your love again today, Lord. Fill us afresh with your love. Fill us afresh with your love. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you that we are victorious in you. Come and have your way in this place. Have your way in us. I'll just give this opportunity. We like to give this opportunity every week, but if there's anybody in this room today as well, we just sense that the spirit of oppression has left. We thank you that God, we thank God that he's restoring joy to us today. But I just want to offer this moment as well. If there's anybody in here today and you may not know who this Jesus is that we've been talking about, and I'm here to tell you today, in all honesty, not just as a pastor but as a friend and brother, that there is no life apart from Jesus. I know that other churches may offer a different kind of gospel, but I'm here to tell you the truth today. life is hard both as a Christian and as not as a Christian, but it's better to have the creator of the universe inside of you and walking alongside you through all of the storms, through all of it, because he gives us the power that we were just talking about to be able to endure, and also to provide us with a testimony that will help others. But I'm here to tell you today, it's 100% on zero. It's not, you know, I'll give him 75%. He's either Lord of all or not at all. And if that's you today and your desire is to acknowledge him as Lord of your life, whether it's for the first time or just a re-acknowledgement of him, I want to give you this opportunity. If that's you, just lift your hand. I want to pray for you today. Father, I just pray and we acknowledge that you are Lord in this place. You are Lord of our lives. That as you are Lord, we have nothing to fear. Fear is washed away. We thank you that as you go before us and as you are fighting for us, we have every reason to lift our hands in victory because of the cross. We thank you here today, Lord, that as we make a decision to surrender our lives to you and center our lives on you, you will give us the love that we need to love one another. You will give us the faith to be able to please you and to be able to walk this life out. And you'll give us a hope that will lift our heads towards the hills where our help comes from. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Go ahead and give him praise tonight. Go ahead and take a seat real quick. If you need prayer for anything at all, just as we're closing, if you need prayer for anything at all, please do come up the front. We'd love to pray for you or if you have any questions. Just so you know, next week we'll be here. We will be here at the same time, but we will be upstairs. There is another venue upstairs. It's not as glamorous as this, but hey, we will worship God wherever we need to. But it's just to try and get in a good rhythm with this new timing for us. But I just wanted to, you know, just beg you to pray. Continue to pray for our church. Continue to pray for Ian Brisbane as we're in this transition with everything that's going on, that God would keep us together and keep us strong throughout the week. We also have connect groups that happen throughout the week. If you want more information, you can come up and see myself or Dave or any of us leaders up the front here. We'd love to see how we can connect you to either a discipleship relationship or even a connect group that's happening throughout the week. We're here to serve you, so however we can serve you, just please come and see us. And I heard there's cake for some dude outside. So God bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. And may his grace be with you always in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great week.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.